We had Thursday night meeting on Judges chapter 6, and we came and stopped at the end of the chapter, and today's discussion will be on Judges chapter 7. This is Gideon's chapter. And before we go there, I'd like to recap what we discovered in chapter 6, just the bullet points in certain verses. And just for the sake of those who are not with us, and even those who were with us, you know, we say repetition is the mother of learning. So, in chapter 6, verse 1, we have read, "The sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years." We found the principle here, by which the Lord deals with his people. And principle is this: if we go into apostasy, God will permit trials.
Can you repeat that?
If we go into apostasy, God will permit trials to come into our lives, to bring us back. And then in verse 6, we were reading, "So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord." It's another point. No matter how low you will fall, you can always cry to the Lord. Then we came to verse 7. In verse 8, when Israel cried to the Lord, verse 8 says that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel. Here you have it. Before God intervenes, he points to sin. And their sin was apostasy. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from the Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery." That was me. So, house of slavery was Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of slavery, and slavery that we are all in, including the Jews of old, is the slavery to sin. And deliverance from Egypt was symbolical to deliverance from sin. So, salvation, the gift, freedom from sin, was given, but it was not appreciated by the Jews of old. My prayer for Christians that we will not repeat the mistakes of the Israel. And then it continues, "I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed." You see, the point here is in verse 10, the obedience to the word of God will eliminate fear in our lives. This is a big point. The obedience to the word of God will eliminate fear in our lives, and at the end of time as well. So if we want to be secure from fear, we must stand on the word of God and his promises. That's what brings us security and freedom from fear. Verse 11, it said, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree," and that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite. "And his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from Midians, from Midianites." We mentioned this, that in Revelation 14, there are two harvests, the harvest of wheat and the harvest of grapes, the wine, and each one of them represents which is the wheat, the harvest of the saints, the righteous, and the harvest of the grape and the winepress represents the harvest of the wicked. And in this case, we read that Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it. What does it tell you? God will do everything to save his people, even, well, his people are, wheat represents his reference to his people, even if we'll take to beat the wheat in the wine press in order to save. Wow. Amazing God. He doesn't want to give up on us. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O violent warrior." So when God pronounces something, he makes person into that. And it's up to us to believe the word immediately, or it takes time, you know, to make us. And in verse 14 we read, when Gideon was complaining, you know, "Lord, our fathers have seen this, and where is the Lord nowadays?" And the Lord said in verse 14, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Go in this your strength." What is his strength? What was the strength of Gideon? He was fearful. What was his strength? The presence of the Lord. The Lord said, "The Lord is with you." That's what makes the Gideon a violent warrior. So the presence of the Lord is our strength. And the Lord said, "Go in this your strength." We have no strength, but the presence of the Lord is our strength. And verse 16, the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." We covered this morning in Exodus 33:14, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And Jesus himself said before he ascended to heaven, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end." Always. And Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the fall of the enemy and the victory is promised because of the Lord's presence is promised to us. And then the angel burned the offering that he brought to make sure that this is the Lord. And then as soon as the offering was consumed in verse 21, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight." Another point that speaks to me. The Lord may be out of our sight, but we are never out of his sight. We must never forget this. So Gideon makes an altar and he named the altar, "The Lord is peace." And in the Old Testament, this is another name for the Lord. The Lord is peace. If the Lord is your God, we must have peace. And then the Lord commands him to do something. "Take your father's bull and tear down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father's house," and also the Asherah. Was not enough for them to have one idol, they had two idols. And by letting and commanding Gideon to do this, he is leading him and helping him to overcome fear. Because it is by doing what the Lord says that we overcome fear. He puts his acts together, and he is qualified now for the leadership. And then in verse 30, in the morning, they woke up, the people of the town, and they saw the altar is torn down and burned, and this altar to God raised up. And what happened? They wanted to kill him. And here's another point that we had on Thursday in verse 30. The persecution of God's faithful people will begin within the church for destroying their idols. The persecution in this chapter, we could see, begins within the God's house, from within, against the man who chooses to walk in the way of God. So, we're not going to mention about the idols today, but nevertheless, they're not absent. In verse 31, the father of Gideon speaks up. Excuse me. He rebukes the people, and he calls sin by its name. And as soon as it is done, when the sin is called by its name, there is an escalation. Progression takes place now in this way, that the sin is called by its name, verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So we could see the escalation. After somebody stands for the word of God, the enemy is raising his ugly head. But we should never forget that the enemy cannot stand the presence of God. So verse 34 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And the Israelites were called together to follow him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And I was thinking, how could I describe this? And thought came to me, and I had written this in my Bible. The Holy Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. The Holy Spirit clothes himself with Gideon. He has accepted the infilling of the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit. Then the blowing of the trumpet took place. And the interesting thing, maybe we should not touch this, the thing in Revelation that I have heard Bill presenting, the seven prophecies with number seven. The sequence is so amazing there, how God had designed this whole thing. It's amazing. And we'll repeat this at some other time. And they gathered behind him, this tribe. And the name of Israelites basically saying in original, well, the meaning of the word is the Father is help. The Father is help. So the sound of the trumpet will be when the persecution will intensify, and that can be proven by the revelation, prophecy and revelation. When the shouting takes place, I mean, the trumpet is blown, the sealing before takes place, the sins are blotted out, and they will not be remembered. This is God, how he deals with his people. He wants to take fear from God's people. Sins will not be remembered. It's our sins that makes us afraid, whether God is accepting us or not. But on the cross, Jesus took our sins. And as we live our lives, we make mistakes, but we are not to hide those mistakes from God. We are to come and to present it to God in repentance. Because every confessed sin goes ahead of us. They're blotted out, and there's no fear in us.
Amen.
And God will complete his work. So then verse 36 through 40, Gideon again exhibiting his fear. Well, let me put the fleece and, all this back and forth about the dew on the fleece on the ground. So God in his grace allowed him to do this very patient with Gideon. And we come now to chapter 7. Interesting chapter. Let's read it. If you don't mind with to hear my Russian accent, I'll read it to you. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Now, the word Herod in Hebrew is simply meaning eye of landscape, fountain of trembling. That's two meanings. Another one is root, the root of it, shudder with terror, hasten with anxiety. That's the meaning of that word, several meanings actually. And the hill of Moreh, the word Moreh in Canaanite language, it's hill. In Hebrew, it means early rain. So, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian to your hands. Too many. For Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. Well, how often we take the credit of everything that God has done. Now therefore come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. Now, the word Gilead here, the meaning of this word is heap of testimony. Let him return and depart from the heap of testimony. So 22 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore, it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But every one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought them to the water, down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate, number one, everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Have you ever wondered about these two groups of people? Why is Lord separating them? And what actually is action representing? Take a look at the... let's just have a brief discussion here. Separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps. What could you say about these people, their character? Anybody? Everybody left?
No.
Okay. Any thought? Or you could take the second option. Everyone who kneels and drink. Can you give me any description, what would you think about their character? Because this action speaks about them, something that we need to take into account. The Lord is seeing something in them. Let's try to see through his eyes.
Those who keep their eyes on him and those who don't.
Who are keeping his eye on him? Which group? In your opinion, which group keep their eyes on the Lord?
ones who keep their heads up and drink.
And they lick the water as a dog, right?
Well, I don't know what the culture was like. I don't know what the culture was like back then, but you know, and if it was anything like here, licking the water like a dog would show something about, you know, their maybe even their lack of manners.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, what about those who kneel and drink just from the river? I've done both ways, you know, when I was growing up as a kid. And as well in the forest, I'm thirsty, there's a spring of water. I've done both ways. And both of them I enjoyed, actually. But let me show you something for you here. Those who lap the, those who lap the water with his tongue as a dog, basically they put the water into the hand and they lick the water from the hand. They had sense of urgency, perhaps the fear of the presence of the enemy. This is the group of people. Everyone who laps the water with his tongue, they don't lose the observation of what is around them. Would you agree with me? They keep their eyes around. It's 180 degrees. Their heads are turning while they're drinking the water. While the ones who kneel and drink, they don't care what is happening around them. These people were very, very courageous. They were fearless, those who kneel and drink. Correct? They're not afraid of anything. Who cares if there's an enemy around us? They were fearless. But the first group, they were fearful. Now, the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt and drank the water. The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hand. So let the other people, the courageous, the bold people, go back home. I'll do this with the fearful ones. Isn't that the good news? Oh, please hear it. I'll have the victory with 300 fearful people. So the men, 300 men, took the people's provision and their trumpets into their hands. And Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained the 300 men. I would add here, the fearful ones. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And you could imagine what is going on now in the heart of Gideon. He had 32,000 people, now have 300 fearful ones. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, rise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. And, you know, the true believer, like Joshua, he would rise and go, right? But Gideon, remember, he was fearful, and the Lord is so tender with him. But if you're afraid, hey, go down. Go with Pula, your servant, and the Pula means foliage. Go with foliage. You're not alone, okay? Go down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterwards, your hands will be strengthened. You will hear what they say. In other words, it says, you will hear their testimonies, and your hands will be strengthened. And, you know, we really need testimonies, to hear more testimonies of each other that will be strengthening us. How the Lord is working in your life. I'd like to hear the testimony, the power of God in your life, because it will be strength to me. Correct? Anyway, your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Pura, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels with were without number, as numerous as sand of the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating dream to his friend. And he said, behold, I had a dream, a loaf of barley bread. Keep in mind, a loaf of bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell, and it turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. Verse 14, his friend replied, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. Now here you have it, two words, the loaf and the sword. What is the loaf standing, loaf of bread standing for in the Bible, symbolizing loaf of bread and sword? You know all. Why are you silent?
The word of God.
The word of God.
Amen. Amen. You see, there's a life here. Then verse 15, we read, when Gideon heard the account, the testimony, the dream of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed and worshipped. Notice that he worshipped God in the camp of the enemy. That's when he actually entered the true faith. He returned to the camp of Israel, and see how God is so persistently and tenderly working us with us to bring us to this point of peak of the faith. He is not giving up on us. Such a tender God. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. Now he believes. Gideon worshipped in the camp of the enemy. Fear was gone. Courage restored. My friends, we are in the camp of the enemy. And we know the interpretation of the vision. Can I hear amen to that?
Amen.
He divided men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, look at me and do likewise. He's discipling them now. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpet all around the camp and say, for the Lord and for Gideon. You know, somebody was telling a story about a year ago that we as a movement, we organized simultaneously in one time 1,000 evangelistic meetings in Philippines. You know what was the result? 80,000 baptisms. You know what he told me? United massive action bring confusion to the enemy, and he cannot keep the souls in darkness. That's what we have seen there, actually. It's the unity of the people that the enemy could not withstand. So, verse 19, so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. Now, this is an interesting thing. They had in one hand the trumpet. In the other hand, they had the pitcher with the torch in it. Tell me, please, where was the sword? in which hand they held the sword. There was no room in the hand for the sword. Right? So, and they smashed the pitchers of clay. So they're blowing the trumpet, they're smashing the pitchers. The pitchers were made of clay. And we are made of clay also. And unless the pitcher was broken, there was no light shining.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
There's a spiritual thing here inside. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing and cried, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And look what happened here. Each stood in his place around the camp. They did not attack them even. They just stood around the camp. And what happened to the camp? And all the
army ran away.
Ran, crying out as they fled for fear. Can you imagine? They were as numerous as locusts. They were more powerful than these 300 fearful men. But the reason why they had the victory, because God already had put fear into the heart of the enemy. Because enemy knows that the Lord is present, no one can stand the Lord. And the Lord said,
agreed,
I am with you always, even to the end of the world. My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. I will keep you in rest. This is a powerful story here. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. Now, when they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army, and the army fled as far as Bethshitta, towards Zererah, as far as the edge of Abel-Meholah, by Tabat. And the rest of the story basically is killing the kings and dividing the spoil. In the book of Haggai and Zechariah and Samuel, this very thing is repeated, which is shown to us for our learning, which the same thing is taking place in Revelation. It is the sixth and seventh plagues that the Lord is standing for people, and God's people are delivered. The Bible is a powerful book. It is coming alive as you read and study it more. I hope this story is of encouragement to you, as it was to me as I read this. I put so many notes. My whole Bible is red and green and blue, actually. But the lessons that we can learn here are so many, so many. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. We are not to have fear. We can have peace, joy, and rest, even in the middle of the crisis. While we are in the midst of the battle, we could have peace and no fear. We can have rest. Amen?
Agree.
Agree.
Amen.
That's our little whisper for the afternoon, so you could have more time for rest. I made it short. But God is so good.
Amen.
what we will do, I don't know how many of you are present there, but we will be posting these messages. Well, first of all, we're going to send to you, Allison will be sending to you the voice recording in the email, so you could re-listen if you want to. But every week we will be posting on our YouTube channel gospel messages that, especially in a time like this, our people need strength and encouragement. If you haven't visited yet, we could text to you or email it to you. Just give a note to Allison. If you, Allison, say your number on so they can write down your number where to text it or the email address. They have your email address probably.
Yeah. You want to just give the number now?
Yeah. Say your number now. Those
somebody
who want, they can
something.
Write it down, and they can text it to you for the link, and you can send them the link.
Yeah.
They will have the access
right.
to all the messages,
right.
and more is coming.
Right. So my phone number again is 661-529-0119.
Thank you, Allison.
Okay.
And if you need more information, you can visit the website, creativemediaministries.org. And if you have some physical needs, we have another ministry that is partnering now with us. It's Lynn and Michael Harris. Lynn is educating people on natural remedies. And their ministry is the Restoration in the Sun, S-O-N. You could visit also and much more materials on healing there. Now, if you choose to visit the YouTube and you like it, just don't forget to subscribe if you like it. If you don't like it, no one press you to do that. So, but if you like to share with your friends also, every Thursday night we're having prayer meeting at 5 o'clock Pacific time and 8 o'clock Eastern time, East Coast. And at 10 o'clock in the morning we have worship services and 3 o'clock the afternoon Vespers. And we will be sending you an email that will inform you what is coming. If we have your email. If we don't have your email, call Allison at the number that she mentioned or reply to the email that you have received, and we will send it on the way to you. As of now, I'd like us to pray. Maybe if there's any prayer requests we could mention again, and we will close with prayer.
I had another request this afternoon to pray for this doctor. His name is Steve here in Bakersfield that is on a ventilator with the COVID. He
yes.
is he rallied, but he's down again right now, so they're asking for more prayer.
Yes. Mm.
Okay.
That's good.
Let's pray for Michael with his digestive discomfort, as you might mention.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a prayer request from Cliff. Clifford had asked if to be prayers that would go forth for him to be healed from a sciatica problem in his right gluteus maximus area to his foot. And with that, I'd like to add that whatever God is trying to speak in regards to this pain condition, that he's healed in all levels, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and ethically, and everything that God is trying to work out in Cliff so that he can be in total alignment with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's remember all our children and grandchildren, and healing for those who need healing. We have a list of many people who need healing. And let's pray for God. Let's pray for God to quench this coronavirus, put it to death, and all the scientists to shame and all the human efforts. There is only one God, and He is Almighty God. Let's pray that you would
agree with power. Agree. I like a praise report for this Beatrice. She's been set free. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then.
And
that was
also
a transformation at the end, as we have seen, huh? People, a person could not even put something together mentally, and at the end, it was clear mind.
God's power.
To God be the glory.
Amen. To discern from cause to effect.
Mm. Any other prayer requests?
I'd like to pray.
I'd like to remember.
God, go ahead.
It's okay, Tony. Go ahead.
No, I'd like to remember. I'd like to pray that, you know, while there's still time, that God would be able to break through the conditions on this earth where all these controlling entities of demonic effort to hurt, to kill, to destroy the earth, destroy people, that all those, all the intricate pieces of the enemy are destroyed, but that we're people that are social people, and people need to be connected to people on this earth. There's no reason to
agree
be here if there's no connection. That there would be
agree
open opportunities in safety, that people will come together and be able to do things without the fear of governments or the position of authorities and anything that Satan would use to step in, that God would prevail and he'll make a way of escape for everyone. To be able to do what we have to do on this earth, to finish the work and to go places and to do things without any encumbrances.
Okay. I add that to yours, Sonny, because I'd like to pray for Monaco, again, this elderly man in hospital now in Canada. He was at his home, and the doctor said there's nothing they could do for him, and they put him in the hospital this week and found several things making him sick, but he'd been on a cleansing program, and the hospital said there's no way you can be here without, we're giving you eggs and milk and cheese, and, you know, you have to have it, and it just, it was against his, he asked for his family to bring the food to the hospital, and they're willing, and they're just not letting him in, and they're not letting him have what he needs. Mm. I want to break this bondage that when it's been proven, he's got spots in his lung, he can't breathe, and they want to put milk and cheese and eggs, which has been proven to cause mucus production and difficulty breathing. So I want to rebuke the darkness from trying to let people eat and get well, and that these so-called dietitians and doctors are just squelching people from even drinking water. He was told he couldn't drink water. I mean, just things that are ridiculous.
Oh,
so I'm just praying for, as families can't go in the hospitals, as they can't be with you to encourage you in the nursing home to bring you
too
fresh food.
Yep. Yep.
Everyone is getting cooked food, flesh food.
Yeah.
And I just want to pray for a united opening of the heavens that light would shine.
Yeah.
Light would shine.
In those dark places, well, then maybe we